Welcome to episode 13 of the SR20 Talk podcast. Today we have a special guest. Well, all my guests are special, but one of the special guests that I have today happens to be a fellow SR20 brother who's been in the game for a while. He has definitely helped out a lot of the community. And I want to introduce him. His name is Cam McFarlane, also known as Killer Cam. What's up, Killer?
What's happening?
All right. How's everything going with you, man?
Good, man. Lazy day today. I got the day off, so I'm just kind of chilling.
Perfect. So glad you were able to get some time to be able to speak to us today. So let's get right into it, Cam. First of all, tell us when you got into SR20s.
This is a weird story. My mom, she actually bought a Nissan Sentra, a B13, brand new from the dealership back in 1992. And I kind of grew up seeing that car every day and riding in that car every day and everything. And then she had always promised me that one day that car would become mine. And then, you know, once she told me that, I kind of became obsessed with it. And eventually that day came, you know, I turned 16 or whatever, got my license, and the car became mine. And I just naturally took a liking to it because it was just different, I guess. The car was a 92 four-door, and it was a 5-speed cherry red pearl with gray interior. It was a base model, like an XE. And it was a 1.6, so of course it needed a little help in the performance department. And you know, me being obsessed with these cars, you know, for so long, you know, I used to go to the library and research these cars and stuff, and, you know, read magazines. Back in the day, these cars were in magazines and publications and stuff. So
Cam, I'm gonna stop you right there. So back in the day, what's back in the day for you?
Back in the day, like So my mom bought that car brand new in 92.
So we're taking it back to 92. So Cam, how old were you in 92, man?
Oh my goodness. So I was born in 88.
All right.
Oh man. So what's that, like 4 or something?
Yeah, 4 years old. All right.
So the car has been a part of my life. The B13 chassis has been a part of my life, you know, from the beginning almost, you know.
Awesome. You know?
Yeah. So yeah, she told me the car was going to become mine, and then I became obsessed with it. And I'd always been into cars. I used to collect, like, Hot Wheels and stuff like that, like any normal kid would. But, this Sentra, there was something about it that I don't know what it was. But I kind of fell in love with it when she told me that it was going to become mine. And so I did research on the car and how to make it perform better and handle better and you know, stuff like that. I used to go to the library and research on like ser.net. And this was, man, SR20 forum. We're talking about pre-dash days. Yep. I would just, you know, sit and research all the different posts and threads. And I would read magazines and stuff on how I could make this B13 that I was gonna get, you know, when I got old enough, how to make it more like an SER model, you know, because anytime that you would see one of these cars in a magazine, Road and Track or Car and Driver or whatever, it was always an SER model. There was never a base model, so I couldn't relate. So I wanted this four-door to be a lot like an SER model.
Right.
So through all that research or whatever, I gained a little bit of knowledge. Not most of it was accurate, but some of it was, and I still use it to this day. So the car became mine when I turned 16, and I started doing little things to it, normal stuff like a high school kid would, you know, stupid mods that don't do anything, night shades on the taillights, 626 lift.
Yeah.
some B14 SER wheels in the junkyard. One day I threw those on there.
The SR20 Forum special package, right?
Yeah. The protocol.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So just to paint the picture to some of these people that are listening here, mm-hmm. back, you were 16. That's, you're 88. What's that? 2004, right? So So you're bringing this car to high school, I'm assuming?
Yes, yes. And I mean, okay. it was stocked for a minute, but eventually I got a job and started making my own money, and that allowed me to buy things for the car and kind of mess with it a little bit, you know?
Right. So, Cam, so when it comes to working on these cars, obviously, you know, you start messing with it at 16 years old. What is it that, aside from like the forums and researching and all that stuff, what is it about the car? Is it the body lines on the car? Is it, you know, just the way it sits? I mean, you know, you see all these guys looking at Civics, Integras, yeah. Back in those days, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. All of my friends, that's what they had. They had Hondas and stuff, you know. And I don't know what it was, man. I guess, yeah, the body lines. I really like the body lines of the car. And I was seeing what other people were doing, you know, with these SERs at the time. And I just really, really took a liking to it and thought, hey, let me try and apply this to my four-door that I had, you know?
Yeah. Where is it that you lived or where you were born or where when you were in high school, 16 years old, messing with these cars?
So high school, we're looking at I've lived all up and down the East Coast and part of the Midwest, too. So okay. High school, we're looking at I was in Chicago at the time.
Really?
Yeah. I was living in Chicago at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the north suburbs.
Got it. All right. So over there by where Louie lives. Shout out to Louie.
Yeah. That's where I met Louie back in the day. Yeah. At
a car. No shit.
Yeah. I know Louie from way back in the day, man.
Small world, man. Small world.
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. Okay. So you were in the suburbs. You said, obviously, after high school, you started working. Did you stay in Chicago or was it a point in time that you moved out and went back down to the East Coast?
Right. So, man, I stayed in Chicago, and I want to say until I was about 21.
Okay.
And then, it was time for me to move out of my mom's crib, and I moved to Georgia. Now, in the past, I had already lived in Georgia before. We had lived in Georgia prior.
Okay.
But, you know, my mom, with jobs and everything, she used to move around a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. So we were all over the place. But I always considered Georgia home. I don't know why.
And that's so where you currently live, right?
Yeah. This is where I currently live, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Cool, man. So, all right. So now you're in Georgia. Or when did you actually swap in an SR20, or did you swap in an SR20 to this four-door?
Okay, so I swapped the SR20 into the four-door. I was still living in Chicago at the time.
Okay.
I want to say this was probably 06 or 07 maybe that I did that. I had been in the junkyard, you know, just like looking around one day, and I stumbled across a B14 SER in the junkyard. And the entire drivetrain was there, and it had like mods done to it, like lowering springs, and the valve cover was painted up all nice and stuff. And I was like, I guess the time is now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This junkyard had 50% off days. So I did not have the money at the time. So I went to work for like a week and got my check. And then I went back and everything was still there. So I ended up taking the complete drivetrain out of the B14 SER and putting it into the four-door.
Nice.
Okay. Now, this was my first time doing this, so I didn't really know what I was doing. So, I mean, it was kind of a jank swap, you know. I didn't, the forums weren't exactly correct on what you need to get off a donor car. But I figured it out eventually and got everything straight and got everything right.
That's good. So, okay, so we're saying 2006 is when this happened. Yeah. Now, were you mechanically inclined prior to that, or was it something that you kind of learned as you went and learning from this chassis and in particular and these engines?
Right. It was something that I learned as I went. I had no mechanical knowledge at the time. I was working at NTB as a tire technician. That was pr- pretty much all the automotive experience that I had at the time.
Nice.
Yeah. So I just kind of learned as I went.
That's what's up. Now, after this car, did this car come down to the South with you? Or is
okay. When I left my mom's crib, I did bring the car down to Georgia with me. And it, at this point, you know, I had gone, you know, way deep into it. At this point, when I'm moving back down to Georgia, now the car is turbocharged. It had a DET in it at this point. And I forget what happened. Something happened with the engine. And I think maybe it cracked a ring land or something. Because, you know, back then, I still didn't have really the mechanical knowledge on how all that stuff worked. I kind of knew how to put it together, but I did not know, you know, how everything worked in unison together. So I was doing stupid stuff. You know, I had no clue. I had nobody to show me how to do any of this. We're talking about stock ECU, stock DE ECU, DE math, stock injectors, you know, no tune, nothing. You know, and just crank the boost all the way up and it goes, you know, that's all that I know at this point. So that car ended up having like, I want to say 3 or 4 different engines in it over the years, just doing stupid stuff, man.
All right.
Yeah. But eventually I parted the car out and then I junked the shell because, you know, Chicago had took its toll on that car and the rust had kind of got to it and there was holes in the floor and, you know, it got to the point where the fenders weren't even attached at the bottom anymore. So I let it go. And that's when I got my my first SER when I moved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about that SER.
All right. So my first SER I bought from a guy. His name is Tunnel. It's a funny story about him too. He's part of an entire family of SR20 guys. They all drive SR20 powered cars. And I actually, you know, still talk to him to this day. And his brother like lives 2 exits down from me now. So yeah, I met Tunnel. He had posted the car for sale like on Facebook or something. And I hit him up about it. And I guess we were talking for a minute and then the conversation just kind of went dormant or whatever. And I didn't hear back from him for like probably a week or two. And then he hits me up out of the blue. He's like, hey, bro, I had sold the car to my cousin. He was driving on the expressway the other night and the car shut off. And the car got impounded or something from being sitting on the side of the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, if you want the car, just go to the impound lot and go get it. Just cool. Give me $500 or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I hit my friend TJ up and he gave me a ride over there probably like a day later. And I went to the impound lot. We went back where the car was, and sure enough, it wouldn't start. It wouldn't start. So they pulled it like into the shop. This place like has a little mechanic type shop building at the front. So we pull the car into there, and then they hook a jump box up to it, and it starts right up.
No shit.
So, yeah. Yep. We hooked the jump box up to it and then it started up. So I guess we narrowed it down to it being an alternator. So we ran down the street to an AutoZone to try and get an alternator, but they didn't have one in stock. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. Just, you know, I'll buy a battery and throw it in there and then that'll be enough to get me home at least. So we did that. Car drove home like a champ. And about 2 weeks later, it threw a rod. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, man. So I still had like from all the motors that I had from the four-door left over, I kind of pieced together something to throw into that car. It was kind of like a DET bottom end with a VE head, and I ran that for a while, for a few months. And then that one started knocking. So I was like, you know what? It's time for me to go back to the drawing board. I can't figure this out. So I just threw a stock VE in it.
Yeah.
I ordered a stock VVL, P11 VE. And then I put that in the car. And that was the end for that car. Like, still to this day, that car is running somewhere around here. That's the most reliable engine. Yep. That's the most reliable engine that was ever in that car. And that was really a turning point for me as far as SR engines go. From that day forward, it was all VVL. Everything had to be a VE.
Yeah. I think a lot of us went through that same stage, man. I mean, I'm listening to your story, and I can tell you I've been in the same boat. And once you just throw in a VE and, you know, you beat on it and it just doesn't collapse, you know, it's pretty cool that it's still to this day is still running. Yes. What year was that, Cam?
You mean when this happened?
Yeah, when did you put that VE motor into that car? SBR?
When I put the VE in that car, this was probably 2011.
Okay.
Mid-2011 that I put that motor in that car. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So then that car, assuming based on what you're saying, that car was sold. And then you moved on to a next platform, or what happened?
Yeah. So, all right. The SER, I ended up selling it because, you know, I kind of got a little bit tired of the race car life. I wanted something a little bit more luxurious, you know, something that I can ride ladies around in, you know. So so I stepped into a P11.
All right. Yeah.
I sold the SER and then I got a P11. Yeah.
That's cool, man. So from that point, we went to P11. Assuming you went with the five lug swap, maybe some duels, you know, Altia wing.
Nah, you know, G20 guys, they have a whole starter pack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, actually, you know what? I owned three P11s. The first one, it was a base model automatic. That one was a 2000. I had that car not even a week, and then my ex-wife, she crashed it, totaled.
Oh, man.
So, I looked at that one like, you know what? It wasn't meant to be. The car was automatic. It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
So that one, I let it go. And then after that, I stumbled across the P11 that everybody knows me for, the Autumn Bronze one.
Yep.
Yeah, that one I found on Facebook Marketplace, and it was an older lady that owned the car, and I had hit her up. I forget what the price was, but I did not have what she was asking, and just on a limb, I hit her up. I was like, hey, I got this much money. Would you take it if I came and got the car tonight? No questions asked. So she was like, yeah, sure. So this is sight unseen. I pull up, and sure enough, the car is clean as hell. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take this thing. We make the transaction. And then I was the owner of a P11. And, you know, after that, you know, I went on to, you know, do the whole starter pack thing, the JDM duels, conversion.
Yeah.
I swapped the interior out in that car because it came with tan interior. I put a sport interior in there. And then later on, I found a super rare sport cloth interior that I ended up putting in there. And eventually, I boosted that car. I took the roller rocker and threw a 6262 on it.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
You weren't playing, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so I had that car for a few years. And just like with prior cars, I just kind of lost interest in it. And I was kind of missing the B13 platform. So I started looking for another B13. And then sure enough, one of the OGs, Charlie Keough, he had one for sale at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm living in New Jersey at this point. And Keough, he's in Maryland. He's a couple states down. So okay. He posts this car for sale, and I'm like, damn, I really want a B13 right now. Oh, what the hell?
Hold the trigger.
Next day, I'm in the car with my ex-wife. We're headed down there, and we go get the car, and I drive it back. And that's the SER that I currently own right now.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's cool, man. So then that what year was that, Cam?
Okay, that was – when did I get that car? I want to say this was probably 2016.
Okay.
2016,
2017. Cool. So you've had it for about 6 years now, more or less,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, correct, cool. Correct.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us have kind of seen the progress on the car that you've made. I mean, oh, yeah. I remember seeing you create some posts on Facebook and Instagram where you showcased it when you first got it and then to what it is right now. Right. And man, what a transformation it's been, man. It's definitely one of my favorite cars. I'm a big black B13 fan.
Yeah.
It just, to me, just that's my favorite color when it comes to these cars. You just can't beat it. And the combination of, you know, the two fog front bumper that you have with the carbon parts, the headlights, mm-hmm. the trunk, you know, it just, to me, again, it's definitely one of my favorite cars for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate that, man. I love the B13 chassis, man. I had to get another one.
Yeah.
This one, I don't think I'm going to be letting it go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you'd be a fool to do that, man.
I'll be buried in this car.
Nice. So that car went through a few different changes as we've seen on your social medias. Up to this point to where I saw the setup firsthand back about a month ago. We were in Alabama, right, at the convention.
Right.
So I was finally able to see this car, and man, again, it's pictures don't do it justice. I'll say that, you know, you have to see this car in person, and it definitely stands out. Now, before we get into some of that stuff, I mean, you also have an NX, right?
Yeah, that's my daily, man.
So the conversation I had with Louie on the previous podcast was, I've never been a fan of NXs, you know.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that?
I was the same way, man. I never liked the NX platform, bro. But you know, these SR20 cars, bro, they're like Pokemon, dog. You gotta at least own. You gotta catch them all, man. You gotta own at least one of each, you know.
Yeah.
During your time, you know.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
I was never an NX guy, but I, out of the blue, I just wanted one day. It kind of grew on me. I thought it was kind of cool. And NXs, they're really rare, man. To find a clean one, it's unheard of. So when you see one pop up for sale for a good deal and it's clean, you kind of got to hop on it. I mean, even if you're not going to keep it.
Yeah.
Even if you're just going to flip it or something, don't let it slip by.
A Sentra SER is hard to find as it is now these days, right?
Right.
Now, I think I would say it's probably 10 times worse trying to find an NX in a legitimate condition. I've seen a couple roam around town where, mm-hmm. I mean, no offense to those owners. I mean, I don't think they'll be listening to this, but I mean, they're just all beats of shit, man. I mean, it's
every time.
So the ones that you find are a dime a dozen for sure, you know. And I haven't seen your car firsthand in person, but I have seen it in the videos on your YouTube account. And I'll shout out the YouTube account right now, Cam. So you can subscribe to Cam stuff at SR20 Talk is the channel, right?
SR20 Tech.
Okay, perfect. SR20 Tech, you're able to find him on there. Go show him some love, subscribe, you know, watch the videos. He's got a lot of content on there. If you're not already subscribed on there, I mean, I've learned several things from watching these videos from Cam. Definitely a big fan of it too. Up to this point, I'm on your page right now. You've got 697 subscribers. So yeah, let's see if we can get Cam up to 1,000, you know, and moving forward. But yeah, man, so tell us about what you've got in this NX right now.
Okay, so the NX, the NX has got a P11 VE in it. It's just the basic stock P11 VE. It's got a tri-wire header on it. It had N1 cams in it, but I sold them. I don't know exactly what my direction with this car is going to be. So I sold those for now. Mm-hmm. But, when I got this NX, it had a DE in it. It was bone stock. And it was crazy because one of my coworkers, somebody, I work for the local transit company. I work on buses. Okay. One of the bus drivers, I guess he saw my NX in the parking lot one day. And then he walks up to me. He's like, hey, I got one of these. I'm trying to sell it. So I'm like, what? You have an NX? He's like, yeah, it's VVL swapped and everything. I said, okay, well, how much are you looking to get for it? And I mean, he asked like some ridiculous price. I eventually went over to his house to go check the car out, and it wasn't anything like what he mentioned. But the engine was still good, and it had a excessive plenum on it. N1 cams and a JMR header on it or whatever. So I was like, you know what? If it doesn't sell and you decide to part the car out, I'll buy the engine from you.
Yeah.
Probably like a month later, he hits me up. He's like, hey, I'm ready to part ways with it. So I went over there, I grabbed the engine from him, and I put that VE into my daily driver, my NX now.
Okay.
So that one, it just kind of fell into my hands because this NX, I was never even supposed to modify it. This was just supposed to be like my little, you know, get around town, you know. But, VE engines are so expensive now.
Yep. That,
you know, if one comes up for sale for a good price, you have to snag it. So
right.
That's what happened with that. So
Cam, so I remember on Facebook you posted this. That NX, you flew out somewhere to go get it, right?
Yeah. I flew to Cincinnati, Ohio to go get that car.
Okay, so you went back to the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was living in New Jersey at the time, and I had just out of the blue wanted an NX, and I started searching, and then I found that one in Cincinnati, and then I'm like, wait a minute, I know this car. Mm-hmm. When I had lived in Georgia prior, somebody who I know personally owned that car, and he's a mechanic, so mm-hmm. I knew that the car was kind of taken care of, and at least in good mechanical condition. So this car, it ended up on Facebook Marketplace for sale. And the guy that had it, he was like a owner or manager of a Volkswagen dealership or something. And he had three of them.
Wow.
He had a red one, a blue one, and a white one. All of them were in various forms of disrepair, like fifth gear pop out or rod knock or rust or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he took apart the three cars and made one good car, which is the one that I ended up with.
Nice.
And so we flew out there, and he picked me up from the airport, took me to the house where the car was. And as soon as he opened the garage door, man, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely taking this thing. It was super clean. Like, you don't see NXs in this condition. You don't.
Not right.
Yep. So, we made the transaction. I hopped in the car and drove it back home, and it did it like a champ, like 700 or 800 miles, like a champ.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. So then that's your daily driver right now. Both of them are B13, but the SER is the one that gets more of the love, I would say, right?
For now. Yeah. Okay. I definitely want to take the NX to the next level at some point. It's just now is not the right time. It's just so expensive to live right now. So now's not the right time.
I get it. I'm with you right there. Now let's go back into this SER. Okay. So there's been different stages on this car. I want to talk about the current stage of the car that as it sits. Okay. I know you went through some hurdles, and as I was watching your YouTube channel on it, prior to the convention, there was an issue. Oh, where,
my goodness, bro.
Well, I'll let you explain, man, because honestly, Cam, man, I got so much respect for you for doing all the things that you've done in such a short span of time that I don't know how the hell you even made it to the convention.
Yeah,
right?
I know, man. It's a miracle.
But
it's a miracle, but I pulled it together, man.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the setup, then how that ended up having an issue up until convention time, you know. And how it's performed.
This is a 1991 B13 SER, and it's got a P11 VE, stock motor, stock P11 VE, Chris Dorsey turbo setup with a Precision 6266. It's got full 3-inch exhaust, 44 millimeter wastegate. It's got 2000 CC injectors, a Hellcat fuel pump. It's on E85, and the car is currently running on a Nismotronic. It's got all the JDM goodies, JDM front bumper, GTS1, JDM rear bumper, side skirts, bunch of carbon fiber all over the place. I would say it's my best put together B13 thus far. But what happened with this car prior to the convention, man, I went through it. So first,
to say the least.
Yeah. Okay. So first, the first thing that happened was I had drove the car. This is about, I want to say, a month before the convention. I drove the car to work one day, and on my lunch break, I got rear-ended in traffic.
Man.
And then the girl tried to run. She tried to do a hit and run. So I looked down for a split second, and she was taking off to leave or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she didn't exactly know what was going on or what type of car this was or what was done to it. I guess she thought that she could get away.
What kind of car did she have?
Man, this was a Chevy Trax.
What the hell is that?
Exactly. Yeah, I've never seen one in my life. You know, I paid attention, right? It's this little small, like, I want to say compact crossover SUV, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Very small. Anyway, she dips off into traffic, and I let her go for a second. You know, I like to give people that 2 split seconds of false hope or whatever. So go ahead, you go. I'll chase you. So she takes off into traffic, weaving in and out of semis and stuff, trying to get away. So I wait about 10 seconds or whatever. I'm like, okay, the time is now. I hop in my car and I go chase her down. I finally catch up with her, and I'm on her bumper for a minute. Like, she can't shake me. Eventually, she pulls over, and I'm like, okay. Back there, I was trying to keep things civil and do things the right way, like a civilian. But now, obviously, we can't do that because you dipped off. So go ahead and give me all your money.
Yep.
You got.
Empty your pockets right empty now. Pockets.
Yeah. And she did. She emptied her pockets. She emptied her purse. Her, Venmo, Zelle.
Yeah. All no shit.
Yep. So she gave me the money. And then I spent the next week after that repairing the damage to the rear bumper. And then I actually ended up repainting the whole JDM kit, the front bumper, side skirts, and rear bumper. I just resprayed everything, and I bent the support back into place. So now that's all good.
Good.
So now we're like 2 weeks prior, or maybe, you know what, maybe a week and a half before the convention at this point.
Yeah.
My dumbass drives the car to work again. This time, on the lunch break, one of my coworkers wants to go for a test drive because I've given everybody else a test ride in the car, and they loved it, and you know, they're telling him about it, and he has never got a chance to ride in the car. So lunch break comes, we hop in the car, and I do a couple pulls.
Okay, Cam. I'm gonna stop you right there. How much power did this car put down on the dyno?
Okay, so when the car was on the dyno, we were having issues with it. The clutch was slipping, and I ended up making, it was 327 at 10 pounds with the clutch slipping.
Okay, so really, give or take 400 horsepower car.
Give or take, yeah. Yeah,
okay. Basically. All right, so let's get back into it. So you're giving him a ride.
Yeah. I'm giving him a ride. I do one last pull, right? And I mean, the car is pulling hard. I mean, freight training, right? And I look down at the boost gauge. The damn thing said 26 PSI. Like, it spiked.
Oh, yeah.
So we're coming up to an intersection now, and I'm slowing down. And, you know, once everything calms down and gets quiet or whatever, I start to hear a tapping, a little slight knocking, right? And then I hit the gas just to be sure I'm hearing what I'm hearing. And the engine said,
ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was knocking. It spun a bearing. It was cylinder number 3 spun a bearing. Now, yeah, this is a week and a half before the convention, right?
Yeah.
How am I going to pull this together? You know? So I'm trying to think of, okay, how can I put this thing back together? Because the car was ready. It was ready to go on the trailer and to the convention. It was ready to go.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, okay, what do I do now? Do I go in the junkyard and pull out a GE and just use the bottom end, throw my head on it, and then swap the turbo setup over? Or, damn, what am I going? Am I going to try and rebuild this one? Well, I hit up one of my boys, Chris. He's an OG from the forum too. His name on there was Black Trunk. He had a 200SX back in the day that had a VE in it. He ended up parting that car out, but he still had the block sitting in his garage. So I hit him up. I'm like, Chris, yo, you still have that VE block? I need it. How much you want for it? He said, give me $100. So the next day I was over at his house getting the block. Now this one didn't have any rods and pistons in it, but the crank was still there and still good. Okay. So I took that engine. I took it home, and then, I mean, y'all can see in the YouTube video what all was done. I ended up having to swap over rods, the good rods, into the next motor and then get another rod from somewhere else. And the pistons were good. So I reused the pistons, reused 3 rods, and then found 1 rod. And then I replaced all the bearings and everything and put it back together. And that's how the car went to the convention, like that.
Yeah, and I think, and the good thing is you documented a lot of these things on your YouTube channel. So I would strongly suggest that whoever's listening is, you know, goes on SR20 Tech on YouTube and follows him through the last stage. I mean, shit, watch every single video that's on there. It's very informative. You'll see a lot of things that Cam has done with not only his cars, but I remember you were working on a GTIR and stuff, which you did like a full maintenance thing on it.
Right.
Yeah. But man, that's crazy how you put this car together. Yeah. And I remember seeing you, you know, pull up, and I was like, holy shit, fucking did it, man. You know, I was very surprised. Very happy to see you, man, as always. So, yeah, sure. And then obviously we're at the convention. Now let's get into the convention talk, man. Obviously you drove down, what was it on, was this Friday morning, right?
Yeah. Thursday night going into, Friday morning. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you pull up, tell us about the activities over at the convention and how the car performed.
Yeah. So, the car did great on the track. I'll be honest, my car is not really set up for road course racing. It's more of a straight line car.
Yep.
That turbo is just extremely too big for a track that small. I think that car is more set up for drag racing or highway pulls and stuff like that. It's way better for that. But the car did great on the track. The motor held together.
Yeah.
I figured it would probably throw a rod or something. Because I damn sure wasn't showing it no mercy, and I know I probably should have did like some kind of break-in on the engine, but I didn't. I just threw it together and took the car out there and had a blast with it, man. It was really fun. But I could only make use of the power on that track in the straightaways.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the corners, all the NA cars would, you know, come zooming around me. So I don't know. I think I need to set up a different car for that. I've been dying to get a P10, so maybe I might try and build a P10 in the future for road
courses. Yeah, and they say that the P10 platform is probably one of the best or the most ideal for anything road racing when it comes to Nissans between the front-wheel drive setups, you know, the B13, 14, 15, NX2000, P11, and P10. So I definitely agree with that. But yeah, man. So
yeah, she held together though.
Absolutely. No. She was moving. I remember seeing you coming down the straights and cars screaming down the straights. And I did see the all motor cars, Christopher Rosario.
Oh my goodness, man. That car is insane, man.
Car's crazy, yeah. that car is loud.
Insane, bro.
It's
almost like that car was specifically set up for that track, man.
Right? I agree, man. And just watching him and then Krishna, also from Florida, those two guys battling it out, man. It definitely made my experience a lot more fun and interesting just watching those guys battle it out. It was definitely an experience.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the car did great. The B13, the current state is I want to do a forge bottom end for it right now. So right now the car is currently taken apart so I can make a few changes. I got a VET short block coming from Jose Beltre probably tomorrow or Friday. Cool. Yeah, so I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll just throw a VET bottom end in it so I can drive the car for the time being. And then take the block out that's in there and send it to the machine shop to, you know, get rods and pistons and all that. But I don't know. We'll see. I'll figure out something.
That's cool, man. Let's talk about your little business side hustle, man. Like I mentioned earlier, I remember seeing a couple of these videos where you did a maintenance teardown. I wouldn't call it a teardown, but, you know, you definitely have to yank the motor out of this Pulsar. Yeah. DTIR, and I think you had done something with a B14 too, but and things that you may not have documented. But why do people come and see you for these types of services?
So, the B chassis and P chassis as a whole, there is a void in shops that are willing to touch these cars or work on them, and. People, they just know me from, it's just from word of mouth. People will recommend, you know, their friends and family to me to work on their cars, you know. That's just something that I do on the side to make a little extra cash or whatever. But I've always noticed, you know, coming up is there's very few shops that are willing to work on these cars. You have shops that work on like 240s and stuff, but they won't mess with a Sentra or a G20 or an NX or something like that, you know? So I don't know. I'm just trying to do my part and kind of help the community out, you know, and kind of keep these cars alive, if you will, you know?
No, for sure. I mean, being that this community is such a small and tight-knit community, I mean, we definitely need to help each other, I would say, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Especially for some of us that are not very mechanically inclined, or just want to enjoy the car without having to mess with the car, without getting into the car. Obviously, there's just a low count of guys that I would say, you know, I would send my car to for them to be able to fix things or modify things. Right. And then one of them definitely is you, man. I mean, I see your quality of work, you know, your work ethic, your very meticulous when it comes to things. So I think that's me speaking from me, right? I mean,
and
I can understand why people have confidence in taking their cars to you to be able to address things or modify them. So thumbs up to you, man. I'm glad everything's working out for you on that end.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so one last thing, Cam, before I let you go here, man. I like to ask a question to the guys that come on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to start calling it a Mount Rushmore. So who would you say would be on Cam McFarland's Mount Rushmore of SR20s? You got four guys to pick.
Mount Rushmore?
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Mount Rushmore. I'm going to have to say Rob Ocasio.
Game changer.
Yeah, man. Like, Rob, I used to have pictures of his car in my binder when I was still in school, bro.
Yeah.
I really look up to that guy, man. I love his car and what he's doing with his son, too. He got him into the SR20 thing, too. So,
yeah.
Huge props to Rob Ocasio for that. Let's see, who else? Heavy hitters. Bez.
Yep.
Bez Rukash.
Yep.
That man, he sends everything. Everything is full send. There's no in between.
Yep.
Bez Rukash.
Shout out to Luka.
Kevin Luka. He has a beautiful white B14, B13, I mean. Who else?
Got one more.
Let me see.
It's hard, huh?
Louis.
Yeah.
Louis from Chicago, man. I really look up to him as well. I love his B14 and his NX, both very, very clean cars. I think he sets the standard for what a B14 should be and what
I agree.
Should be.
Shout out to Louis, man.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Cam, I mean, we can go on and on and on for hours with, you know, talking about SR20s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these types of things, I think, happen more so when we all meet up at the conventions, right? And
right,
we just,
right.
You know, conversations just brew up. And I bring up the conventions time and time again just because it's one of my things that I love to attend, whether it's the ones over here, sure. WPP or the ones out there. Shit, you've been over here to
I want to make it back out there again, man. I had so much fun the last time that I went, man.
Yeah, no.
Make it back out there again. I had a blast, bro. And
I didn't
even have a car. I flew out there, you know, and I still had a good time. So
yeah.
I definitely got to go again.
Yeah, I think just going to the convention, sometimes even without a car, it's a different experience.
Yeah, obviously, for sure.
As much as you'd want to get on the track and join the guys, I mean, there's also guys that are just hanging out, also just chit-chatting, you know, Greg Vogel's out there. You know, a lot of the OGs that have been in this game for a long time and supporting are still here. So you run into guys that you haven't – you know their names, but you've never met them face-to-face, and it's always good to put – a face to that name, you know. Oh, so
absolutely. Brother.
So I think again I'm gonna encourage people to make these conventions, and hopefully we get some news here on WCC pretty soon for the 22 side of things.
I'm
talking to you, Chris Parker, if you're listening, you know. Cam,
shout out to Chris, man.
Hey, Killer Cam, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. It really means a lot for you to take some time out of your day to be able to make this happen. I know a lot of people are excited to hear some of your stories. Again, being that you've been in this game for shit your whole life, I'm going to say, right? it's hard to put all those things into one podcast in less than an hour, but thank you for sharing all the information you did.
Yeah.
I hope to see you again soon, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. We'll definitely link up sometime.
Sounds good. All right, Cam, any special shout-outs you want to give out?
Shout-outs. Shout-out to my boy Steven for always bailing me out. he's who I got that rod from, the spare rod.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on the video.
Shout-out to my boy Charles. For letting me borrow his truck and trailer to get to the convention. And
shout out to Rob.
You know, man, everybody, Rob Ocasio, shout out to Andreas Miko, Roger.
Shout out to Roger.
Chris, shout out to Chris. Big shout out to Chris, man.
Yep.
Chris Rosario, that's a stand-up dude. He helped me actually wash my car when we were about to go to the awards or whatever. Everybody else pulled off. Chris stayed and helped me wash my car. And then I ended up taking Best B13 after that. So shout out to him. Huge shout out to him.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, Chris gave us a ride in his Xterra to go get dinner that night. So yeah, that was cool, man. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good, Cam.
Yeah, well, man, for sure.
Again, man. So thank you again for coming on the podcast, and see you soon.
All right, brother.
Thank you for listening to episode 13 of the SR20 Talk podcast. Follow Cam on YouTube at SR20 Tech and Instagram, SR20's Rule, and follow SR20 Talk on Instagram as well.